This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
So the Senate voting down four separate gun bills yesterday afternoon of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Votes primarily down party lines, blocking those measures, leading to heated speeches on the Senate floor once again. Watch this.
Our colleagues want to make this about gun control when what we should be making this about is the fight to eliminate the Islamic extremism that is the root cause for what happened in Orlando.
The two sides have a tough time getting together on this one. Doug McElway live in Washington. So does that mean that gun control legislation is, for all intents and purposes, dead this year, Doug?
Well, no, not necessarily, Martha. There is one more bill, the one by Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, that has yet to be introduced. She claims to have bipartisan support. We'll have more on that in just a sec. But it was widely anticipated that these four amendments would go down in flames last night, and that is exactly what happened. The Grassley Amendment failed, 53-47. Murphy Amendment failed, 44-56. Cornyn failed, 53-47. And Feinstein failed, 47-53. And it raises the issue that whenever there is a mass shooting, critics say that Democrats have a knee-jerk reaction to pass some kind of legislation. Republicans, on the other hand, feel some need to respond because they can read the polls that show that most Americans want something done. So what we had then, in other words, was a lot of Republicans taking some sort of an act, even though they knew nothing would eventually resolve from this. Here's Representative Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire.
By all accounts, these proposals are likely to fail again, and we will be right back where we started. No safer, no smarter, no more successful in protecting our citizens.
And now it is on to the Collins bill. It would ban gun sales to people on two subsets of the terrorism watch list, the no-fly list, which blocks some people from boarding flights, and the selectee list. People on that have to go through additional screening at airports. But what makes that bill have some degree of bipartisan appeal is that selectees banned from gun purchases would have the right to an appeal and be awarded attorney's fees, but some Republicans still object, noting that the Collins bill still lacks due process, which is what so many Republicans object to.
Well, you know, and that's the big thing, Scott, is that it's one thing, and, you know, because some people go, well, why can't it be a problem? Well, you know, it's, you know, the big hand of government coming in, and they just say, hey, this is the way it is. You're guilty until you prove yourself innocent. And that's what, you know, believe it or not, you mean, here it is. You've got the Democrats saying, hey, we're for the people. It's like you got to understand what the mindset and what their worldview is. The Democrats feel like, look at you're guilty first, and then you prove that you're innocent, and that's okay. The Republicans say, no, we're going to go back with what the Constitution says and what we've held to, and that is that you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well,
you know, so I think that's what delineates the two parties clearly and what's coming out. What do you say?
Well, where do you stop it? If I'm on a no-fly list, terror list or whatever, do I not get the First Amendment?
Well, yeah.
Do I not get the
Eighth
Amendment?
If you're a suspect, kind of like what Matt Maher said, you know, with the American Enterprise Institute in the first hour, and that is, look, if you're a suspect and there's a red flag and you're on a no-fly list, then, you know, there's precautionary things that you need to do. Now, whether that means, I mean, Matt says go ahead and sell him the gun. You know, I still haven't quite decided on that, you know, that you go ahead and sell him the gun if they're a suspect. I mean, I want to have a conversation with them. I want to go through due process and say, okay, tell me why you deserve to have a gun. And for us, in light of these threats and in light of these indicators here, you know, let's have a shot at this deal at least, you know,
well,
to discuss it.
Why do you want the gun? Oh, I want to go shooting. Well, where are you going to shoot? you know,
Again, I mean, hey, look, there are people, this is what they do for a living. They know what to do, and I'll go along with their judgment. But I agree. I think due process needs to be in play here.
Imagine your life 5 years from now. Are you on the path you want to be on? It's time to take control of your future by getting a world-class education from one of the nation's top universities. Arizona State University is now offering over 100 top-tier degree programs 100% online. It's the exact same degree our on-campus students receive, but you can learn from anywhere in the country on your own schedule. For information, call 1-800-939-9634. Learn from ASU's world-renowned faculty and use ASU's global recognition to improve your visibility, professional network, and gain real-world experience you can start using today. The Wall Street Journal ranked ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates. Now discover how ASU Online can stand out on your resume and help separate you from the competition. We're ready to help you learn to thrive in your life, in your career, and beyond. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-939-9634. That's 1-800-939-9634.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's not a bad idea just to take a pause. Why not? Let's just take a pause. Let's get a hold of ourselves and think about it for just a moment. And, you know, we can sing Kumbaya together. Why not? Bill Martinez, but it's more than love, okay? Attorney General. Oh, you got to love her, Loretta Lynch. Oh, it's all about love. I don't know how to love evil. I mean, because if you love evil, then you are evil and you become evil. That's not the way it works. But anyway, that she opened up the discussion and, you know, everybody will. I imagine Saturday Night Live is going to have fun with that. Don't you know? And the late night shows, they're going to have a great, great time with that particular one. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. We've got the one and only David Rubin, direct from Israel, who has become a trusted voice of Israel, best-selling author, Israel relations and political commentator. David, always good to have you with us. How you doing, buddy?
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, you've got a couple articles here, and I want to talk about both of them. And maybe just in terms of timeline, let's talk about the coincidence of Orlando and the Tel Aviv terror attacks. I don't think America is quite putting these two attacks together and why there's ominous Ramadan connections here. From an Israeli point of view, from where you sit in Israeli, as an Israeli and also as a U.S. citizen, what do you see in terms of the connectivity between those two attacks?
Well, first of all, there's the obvious connection, which is that both terrorists believe in Islamic Jihad. Both of the terrorists that committed the attacks are connected to terrorist organizations, Islamic terrorist organizations, and they all believe in holy war against non-Muslims or against Muslim, even against Muslims who disagree with them. So that is what binds them together. That's what binds together every terrorist who commits a terrorist attack. Virtually every terrorist is a Muslim, and virtually every terrorist believes in jihad, holy war against non-Muslims. So that's what binds them together. Now, if you look at the Tel Aviv and Orlando attacks, we have the issue of Ramadan. For those of your listeners who don't know, Ramadan is the Muslim holy month. Falls in the summertime, usually. And during Ramadan, Muslims will not eat all day long. From sunrise to sunset, they don't eat, not even a drop. And they don't drink, not even a drop, or they're not supposed to, at least. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, they have a big feast and they pig out. Well, pardon the pun.
Well, yeah, I was going
But this is what they do. Mm-hmm. So they walk around irritable all day, and I can vouch for that, having been in Morocco, and having seen Muslims in the towns of Israel.
Well, also, for anybody that's fasted, you get a little cranky. I mean, let's face it, right? Whether you're a Christian, you're a Jew, or an Arab,
sure.
Fasting can bring out that the less than beautiful part of your soul.
But when you're doing it every day, imagine.
Exactly.
Okay. So that is the month of Ramadan. But Ramadan is much more than that. And there was an article written by one of the leaders of the Hamas terrorist organization that's very active in Israel. About a week and a half ago, it was written 2 or 3 days before the Tel Aviv terrorist attack. And so the terrorists who wrote the article wrote that Ramadan is the month of terror, the month of jihad.
Mm.
He referred to it specifically as the month of jihad. Now, he wasn't the first Islamic terrorist leader to write an article like this, but it was just an interesting coincidence that the article was written 2 days before the terrorist attack in Tel Aviv, and then as we were entering the month of Ramadan. And then just a few days later, right into the second week of the month of Ramadan, we had the Orlando attack.
Exactly.
So it seems like there is a clear convergence of not just violent attacks against Westerners, but violent attacks in the month of Ramadan, which is, as the terrorist said, is the month of jihad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a convergence of ideology in these two attacks that is just so blatant, and it's incredible that the leadership, the political leadership in the United States, doesn't seem to get it, doesn't seem to understand what's going on here.
Well, that's what a majority, and I believe it is a majority of Americans, are scratching their heads over, and those of us here in the West, David, is that we see this happening time and time again, and they want to scrub the information. They don't want to call it for what it is. The president had to, kind of really be forced to come up with radical Islam and to be able to put those terms together. He resisted it, and he just said, you want me to say that as if it's some magic bullet. No, we're not saying it's a magic bullet, but it seems to connect reality here so that we know who our enemy is. When you have, advisors, a number of advisors, military counselors, that are saying, look, you got to call it for what it is. I mean, our training, our expertise says that if you're going to, the first thing in any kind of battle is you've got to know who your enemy is, and you got to call it for what it is. And we haven't done that ever since this president took office.
No, the American government is acting like the terrorists, that the enemy is terrorism, like the strategy is the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
A strategy can't be an enemy. A strategy is used by an enemy against the good people.
Right.
So that's what they don't seem to understand, or don't want to understand, or Obama, for whatever psychological reasons relating perhaps to his Muslim upbringing, that maybe that's affected things.
But it's much more than that. That's part of it. That's the root, David. But what we've been trying to say on this show is, America, you've got to wake up to see who the president has surrounded himself with. How many Muslims are in the inner circle of the government today, in the Barack Obama administration today? I mean, I think there's over 70.
Homeland Security.
Yes. So all these things. And then he just hires a gal to head Muslim relations. She's at the table with Barack Obama. And I got to tell you, I just based on what's coming out, what she has said in the past, all this scrubbing and all this re-languaging and articulation of radical Islam, I got to believe that she is one of the key influencers in this whole deal. And Barack Obama, I mean, it's amazing. Here he is, the president of the United States, and he's being so greatly influenced by this. This is way over the top as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it certainly is, and that. It's something that people shouldn't be scratching their heads about. They should be screaming about it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We got to quit scratching our heads and scream and say enough. We're not going to take this any longer. I agree with you. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, is with us, a political commentator. He is reporting directly from Israel this morning, and we're grateful to have him on with us, and we've got him for another segment. So we've got more from David Rubin right after the break. Stay with us, America, just about 15 after the top of the hour.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guided Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith, Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro 1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
In the summertime, when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, you can join us online, and, you know, you got a choice of some 280 other affiliates and resources as well to connect with Bill Martinez Live. Important to do so because if we're going to get this country back on track, It's going to be a bottom-up movement, not top-down. Top-down is what got us into this mess to begin with. Our conversation with the one and only David Rubin continues. He has become the trusted voice of Israel, best-selling author, focusing on Israel relations, and a political commentator as well. Former mayor of Shiloh. See, here in the West we say Shiloh, but I think it's Shiloh, Israel. Founder and president of Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, author of four books, including The Islamic Tsunami, as well as his most recent book, Sparks from Zion. For more information, go to his website, davidrubinisrael.com. Did I get everything okay there, David?
Yes, except for the Shiloh.
Oh, I'm still not doing right. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I know you're trying. You're trying to be a real Israeli, but it's Shiloh. Shiloh.
Shiloh, okay.
Shiloh. Or right. Or you could say Shiloh. You know, there are 65 cities or towns in the United States called Shiloh.
Exactly.
And
well,
so when you say Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, if you want to remember it, you can just think of the Civil War battle or the Neil Diamond song.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're all covered. Well, I know that we were talking earlier, David, about America scratching their heads, and you quickly said they got to quit scratching. They got to start yelling about it, right?
Yeah, I really believe so. You know, I mean, how can you hear a report from Loretta Lynch telling the public that they're going to be deleting certain things from the phone conversation of the terrorists with the police? And the things that they were cutting out were things like Islamic terrorism or his allegiance to Islamic State and its leader. You know, it's Big Brother, George Orwell, 1984 all over again. Mm-hmm. And the public should be screaming. I mean, I can't believe that, you know, after hearing that, Mitt Romney should be coming out with a public statement telling everyone to vote for Donald Trump.
Exactly.
It just seems so obvious. That, you know, that's something. Like even Mitt Romney could probably be reached by his outrage over such an abuse of people's First Amendment rights.
Well, people's outrage is so mistargeted and misguided right now. They want to be misguided about all these silly little things that mean so little. But, you know, I got to tell you, this is what the Barack Obama administration has given to us. We've had redacted history from day one with this administration, and Hillary Clinton has promised to give us at least another 4 years. She's projecting eight. Can this country handle eight more years of lies and deception?
Oh, I sure don't think so. And yes, lies is the word for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like to use that word, but lies is the actual word. It's deception. Deception of that kind, of that magnitude, is used by only two groups of people. One is the Islamic ideologues, who use an Islamic precept called taqiyya, which means deception to further the cause of Islam. Mm-hmm. They use that to justify their lying, their public lying. And the other is the far left in America. The far left ideology is rooted in lies. It's rooted in the necessity of lying if you further the cause.
Exactly. Well, you know, and it's amazing to me because when you look at the two parties, David, if a Republican had violated email rules to the degree that's being reported and investigated with Hillary Clinton, they would have resigned, a year, 2 years ago.
Under public attack, under the assault from the media, such a Republican would have resigned, would have dropped out of the race, but the arrogance of the Clintons knows no bounds.
Right. So, well, the thing is, you got half that. Now, let me interrupt you there. Forgive me, David. When you say that, under the duress or public attacks, they would resign, it's even more than that. The party itself would have attacked the individual. The Democratic Party is not even questioning Hillary Clinton whatsoever. One iota, as the president would say, not even one iota, excuse me, would she be attacked or questioned, about her misrepresentation of the facts and her misuse of government emails.
That's right. That's right. And that's the difference between a free party, a free marketplace of ideas, and the Democratic Party, which certainly has been run like a dictatorship ever since Obama came to the core.
Well, as we talk about deception, whether it's in the Muslim faith, and I don't think it's necessarily reserved for radical Muslims. It seems to be consistent, you know, with many Muslims. I mean, when you see what's going on and how they've, have conquered, and I say conquered areas of the West in Europe, where you have now no-go zones, where they've taken over. There are certain areas, even here in the United States, that they don't want to talk about. And they do it rather deceptively. And it's not just, you know, what you would title as radical Islamist. It's people of the Islam faith and religion that are doing this. And they are taking a stand against our U.S. Constitution. And in some cases are insisting on Sharia law, not the rule of law that's been well established here in the United States.
That's right, and very often they will pretend that that's not what they're advocating, and they'll try to hide it. They'll try to hide it in some sort of in the spirit of pluralism. Mm. They'll say that they just want to have a little bit of Sharia law, so there'll be pluralism and Muslim rights. But that's not really what they're looking for. They're looking for the dominance, the predominance of Islam. In fact, there's an organization called CARE in the United States, which stands for the Council of American Islamic Relations. And they claim to be a human rights organization that looks after Muslim rights. But the chairman of their organization, several years back was interviewed off the record. And it somehow got to the public record, and he said, "Don't think that Muslims are in America just to get freedom and to get their rights. Islam is in America to be the predominant religion in America and around the world. Our purpose is to rule over America, not to get rights in America."
Exactly.
And that was the chairman of CARE. Mm-hmm. The ostensibly human rights based organization that is constantly defending terrorists,
and we're just not listening.
No, people want to put their heads in the sand, and I guess Americans aren't they put their heads in the sand. They don't realize that they're putting in the sand, unlike us in the Middle East where we have a lot of sand.
Exactly. Well, it is it's a repeat, and I know some people take exception of this, but you got to see it for what it is. This is deja vu all over again, pre-World War II.
Yes, it is, and hopefully we'll start just as the enemy was identified as Nazi ideology. Hopefully, here Islamic ideology and jihadist ideology will be identified as well.
Well, they've kind of tried to wrap this into ideology and religion. But you're saying ideology trumps religion?
Well, it is an ideology. We have to identify it as such. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about really is what I call, as I did in my book, my bestseller, The mm-hmm. Islamic Tsunami.
Yes.
And that is, the Islamic tsunami is what is happening today. And I hope our leadership around the world will start identifying it as such.
Exactly. David Rubin, the trusted voice of Israel from Israel, talking to us today on Bill Martinez Live. David, thank you so much for being with us. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7 Second Block is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-Second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. If I believe it'll be all right. And babe,
join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, a little summertime music where it's hot, particularly on the West Coast. And our next guest, that's where he heralds from. Walt Russell is with us. He has a new book called Sustainable Church. Walt Russell, it's pretty warm out there. You got fires abounding and maybe even a super fire on the verge of breaking loose there, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's it is hot times in the city here. Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it might even be hot times in the church, you might say. There is the whole spectrum of consideration and opinion about the church and its relevance in today's culture. It seems that for many years it has taken a beating by the secular part of America. And they've quieted down, and you know, they're just not attending church because there's just not there's not enough, you know, in it for them. They're not seeing the reward of being associated. So you've got membership falling by the wayside, a perception of the general market that it doesn't have relevance. But yet at the same time, Gallup poll came out with a study here about 8-9 months ago, Walt. It said, hey, where's the church? You know, our culture is in chaos, and we need the voice of the church. And we're saying, hey, look, you told them to shut up and not to be involved. Now you want them involved, right?
Right, yeah, it's a double message, isn't it? Yes.
It really is. But this is an opportunity because we know God is sovereign, and, you know, his church is, you know, is so key to all the good things that God had purposed and was established by his son, the one and only Jesus Christ. And and to make a difference in our culture. And this is kind of a time to regroup and maybe retool, right?
I think so, Bill. I think we're in really, really bad shape in the church. We've been in decline for some time. Mm-hmm. And biblical literacy is declining. I've been teaching the Bible over the last 30-some years, and boy, with each decade, Christians know less and less and less about the Bible. It's pretty scary.
Well, it really is, especially if you say you're a Christian. You know, Jesus himself said, it is not by bread that man lives, but by every word, you know, that comes from the mouth of God. And we have disconnected from that reality, and we're paying a big price for it. And Christians are saying, well, you know, I still, you know, I'm not really hearing the voice of God. But yet Jesus was real clear, and he said, his sheep hear his voice. So if we're not hearing it, we're just not listening.
Right. Well, let me share some statistics recently, Bill. They're pretty sobering. One is that most churches spend 70 to 90% of their budget on their facilities and their staffing. So it's very kind of self-focused. Additionally, then, we're in a four-generation decline in percentage giving in America. Each generation over the last four has given less than their parents. And you know what the average evangelical gives now? You know what percentage of their gross income?
And it's supposed to be 10%, ladies and gentlemen, in case you have any doubt. That's what tithe means. What is it?
Between 2 and 3%.
Oh, wow. Hey, we're like Joe Biden. That's what Joe Biden gives, about 2-3%. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, what they're saying, Bill, this is pretty sobering and shows the decline of the church in America, is within the decade, the majority of pastors in America are going to have to be bivocational. In other words, mm-hmm. you're going to have another job
exactly.
in addition to pastoring within the decade.
Well, that'll be incredible. You see him as a greeter at Walmart, and Sunday he's in the pulpit. I mean, really, this is what it's come down to. And this has been my concern, Walt, and I don't mean this skeptically, is I've been concerned. I've been watching this dynamic, as you say, where churches have become more concerned about, you know, the building as if it's not, you know, like as if it's their church and, you know, it's their struggle. You know, last time I checked, it's God's church. And it's tough. I understand. I mean, being a pastor, I mean, I've run my own company.
Right.
Having the economic pressures. Look, I am not. And forgive me, please, if I'm coming across in a condemning sort of way. I'm trying to encourage you to really, you know, put our trust where it needs to be, where it needs to be anchored, and that's on the Word of God. And what's happened is the Word of God has gotten so compromised that we have all these what they call seeker-friendly churches anymore, and that the gospel is being so watered down that incredible things, miracles, have been stifled. You know, we just don't talk about the extraordinary aspect of a God, a mighty God that we serve, because, you know, it's just not kosher, you know, it's just not the right thing to do because of, you know, some sort of, even in the Christian circles where we need to have a safe space, you know, we can't,
right.
we can't really talk about these
yeah.
extraordinary
well,
things because,
well,
you know.
Increasingly with each of the last several generations, we've become more and more self-focused. It's about individual self-fulfillment. And so people see the church essentially as just another consumable item to help in their individual happiness and self-fulfillment, as opposed to a place to lay down your life in serving Jesus Christ. So right. we've turned this thing upside down, brother. It's tragic.
And the sad part about it is the people who want to come for fulfillment and happiness, you don't get that in getting. You get it in giving.
Right.
It is counterintuitive, but for those of us who have experienced that, we understand it. But we're just, you know, we need more of the body of Christ to come together, as you say in your book, Sustainable Church, to really come together and support this issue so that we can be a voice of encouragement to the church first. Because
right.
the church needs to strengthen itself because it can't give what it doesn't have, right?
That's right. Right. Let me read a quote from Dick Halverson. He was a well-known pastor in Southern California mm-hmm. and then was chaplain of the U.S. Senate a few years ago. That's mm-hmm. when I met him. Mm-hmm. And here's an amazing quote, Bill, that he gave to a Presbyterian denominational meeting. Here's what Dick Halverson said. In the beginning, the church was a fellowship of men and women centered on the living Christ. Then the church moved to Greece, where it became a philosophy. Then it moved to Rome, where it became an institution. Next, it moved to Europe, where it became a culture. And finally, it moved to America, where it became an enterprise, a business.
Wow.
Yeah. And so our churches have a top-down organizational model, Bill, that is totally contrary to the biblical model, which is a bottom-up organic model built around all of the saints' spiritual gifts.
Exactly.
But I've been asking pastors and church leaders for over 35 years, what percentage of the people in your church know what their spiritual gifts are? You know what percentage I've gotten for over 3.5 decades?
What?
Between 10 and 15%.
Wow.
So the point is, the most amazing organism ever created in the history of the world, the body of Christ, is dysfunctional, Bill, in that the vast majority of its parts do not know what their part is and are not functioning in that role.
Mm-hmm.
And so our churches put them in a passive, childlike state, you know, hey, pray, and keep your mouth shut, and don't make waves, you know, that sort of thing, as opposed to equipping them to be doing the ministry that all of us are gifted to be a part of.
Well,
and
you know,
so this is a tragedy to build it around one person, and that person's personality and gifting is what the vast majority of our churches are. They say it takes 3 years for a church to become an extension of a pastor's personality.
Wow.
And this is just a total, total mockery of the New Testament view of the body of Christ.
I agree with you, Walt. I think your book is quite provocative and revealing. It is consistent with things that I've held to in terms of one particular core value, and that is the giftings and talents of each individual, the God-given giftings and talents that have been designed into an individual, have to be expressed and grown and developed. If they're not, they will be stifled and they'll go someplace else. And one of the manifestations, and where I saw this operating or not operating clearly, is in the church, just to your point, because of the current model. And you've got people that are just bored to death in church, and all they want to do is serve. You can,
right.
I mean, the fact is they're already equipped. God's equipped them. Just give them a canvas to paint on and some paintbrushes, and watch out what kind of beautiful mosaic and portraits they come up with. Well, Walt, thank you so much for being with us. Walt Russell on Bill Martinez Live.
There's nothing more enticing and intoxicating than the finest meat cooking on an open flame. Freeze-dried meat from NewHarvest.com is U.S.-grown, 100% all-natural with no extra fillers. Just grass-fed beef and free-range chicken guaranteed to stay fresh and delicious. Add New Harvest freeze-dried meats to your current food storage. You'll buy direct from the factory, not a third party, ensuring the best price and the highest quality. See all our products at NewHarvestFoods.com. That's NewHarvestFoods.com.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX, that's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. It's all right there for you. Just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour, it's time for Matt Whitaker, former U.S. Attorney, President of the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust Pact, is what we call it, that exposes campaign finance and ethics issues. Matt, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Hey, Matt, before we talk about your investigation of General United for Clean Power and what the AGs are doing here, let's talk about election 2016. When you talk about exposing campaign finance and ethics issues, when you have these two primary candidates from the Republican and Democrats, some would say this is a target-rich area for you.
It is. Some don't. I mean, I would say that, not just sort of others. I mean, it is, sort of Hillary Clinton is the gift that keeps giving. Sort of it appears that Donald Trump potentially isn't trying to raise much money. And so, that doesn't raise as many campaign finance issues. But, yeah, from an ethical perspective, we've been fairly busy here over the last, really year and a half in this election cycle. Bringing to light, and I know you and I have talked about several of those incidents where we're just, kind of raising awareness and filing complaints against really candidates and public servants that put their interests ahead of the American people. And so, we're going to continue to do that. And like you said, it's a target-rich environment.
Well, you have a situation here in, about 2-3 weeks. You've got a movie based on Peter Schweizer's book, Clinton Cash. It's going to be quite the expose. I mean, if people didn't read the book and didn't hear all the pundits and the news reports and the involvement of the Clinton Foundation, maybe this movie is going to open the eyes even further of people that even have been reluctant, even though you got 71% of Democrats saying, it doesn't matter if she lies, it doesn't matter if she gets indicted, we're still going to vote for her anyway. And I go, wow, as a country, are we that messed up? Are we that disconnected from any kind of issue of morality and ethics that we would continue, you know, we'd want to move forward with somebody who just says, hey, you know, I'm a liar, I'm stealing from you, but, you know, it's okay. I'm going to be the first woman president, so you got to love me.
Right. And, I think a lot of people have, you know, either tuned out or otherwise aren't paying attention anymore to this, to the email situation and the ongoing kind of back and forth in that. And I think the Clinton campaign has done a fairly good job to somehow muddy, you know, people's ideas of what actually happened in that situation. But one of the things that, you know, that FACT has been talking about and trying to really get some information on is what appears to be kind of almost a pay-to-play situation between the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton's State Department from 2009 to 2013, and how access appeared to be granted mostly on whether you were connected to the Clinton Foundation and whether you donated to the Clinton Foundation, and those that had prior existing financial relationships either with the Clinton Foundation or, you know, her previous campaigns seemed to get a pass to the front of the line, kind of like almost Disney's Fast Pass.
Exactly.
Where you could get to the front of the line and have access to the Secretary of State and others at the State Department that, you know, sort of people like you and I and your listeners just wouldn't have had the opportunity to get.
Yeah. Well, it's one thing to have access and get a Fast Pass, but it's another thing not only to get that, but then to have access to We the People's money. And for her to divert funds and, you know, and make it into a pay-to-play deal. I mean, just one clear understanding is that here you have the former president, Bill Clinton, averaging typically what most former presidents would get, about $70,000 to $80,000 for a speech. Suddenly it balloons up to $350,000 to $500,000 per speech. And the only difference is that his wife becomes Secretary of State. And then, as Schweitzer points out, you start following the money and you start seeing the quote, the quid pro quo that goes on.
Right.
Is that, you know, they align with somebody, they give money to the foundation, and the next thing you know, We the People's budget is being, you know, directed toward that particular interest that paid into the Clinton Foundation. Yeah, looks like a duck, talks like a duck, huh?
Right, and it's just a new way to lobby the Clintons, and you can only imagine what happens. And I mean, let's complete the circle here. You can only imagine what's going to happen when, if and when she's president,
right?
And the amount of money that is going to drive into the Clinton Foundation in order to curry favor with a Clinton White House. That's why I think, you know, people like my group and others are calling for a essentially her to say today that they will not accept money while, you know, she is president. Because, I mean, I think that is, you know, every single donation is going to, you know, the motivations of that donation are going to be questioned.
Well, that's like asking an alcoholic not to drink anymore. I mean, you know, this is
alcoholics do recover.
Yeah, okay. But you know, she's been doing this, you know, for how long? And it's not so much that you're an alcoholic by yourself. You're with a bunch of other alcoholics. You know, so, you know, you're just kind of self-serving yourself. So you kind of go, okay, wink, wink, we'll get away with it. I mean, ethics issues and things that we've been talking about, Matt, you know, even the Senate, Congressional Ethics Committee, you know, you and I'd be in jail over this stuff. And they go, oh, it's okay. Insider trading, not a problem. Until a couple of years ago when Peter Schweitzer brought it out, you know, brought to light, you know, things that Nancy Pelosi was doing. And it was all just, you know, business as usual. What do you mean? I can't have insider information on a visa deal. I get a bunch of preferred stock and my husband and I make $100,000. Why is that a problem? Why is it
right
that I have insider information on where a bullet train in California is going to go? So I buy up a bunch of office buildings there off of one of the key stops that the bullet train is going to take off. And now we're going to just make, you know, just an incredible windfall profit. But it's only because she had the inside information, and you know darn well she didn't share it to the seller.
Exactly. And you know, these are the examples I think that frustrate your listeners the most, is where the politically powerful use their insider connections to line their own pockets. And this is why, you know, things like, you know, term limits and other ways to get back to a citizen servant, a citizen legislature, have a lot of, you know, persuasive arguments.
Exactly.
I think it's just we've reached a point where, you know, our founding fathers would literally spin in their graves if they knew, kind of the what the professional political class is doing to take advantage of their positions of power.
And it's amazing what they've done to secure it and solidify it at the expense of we the people. Well, Matt, we wanted to talk about your investigation of AG's United for Clean Power. Update our audience. What are you finding there?
Yeah, well, we issued a FOIA request in 17 different states against 17 attorney generals, including places like New York, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and my home state of Iowa. And we're starting to kind of get some information back, and we're starting to negotiate with them about the scope of our request. But the long story short is, we're trying to see if these attorney generals are using their subpoena power and their ability to investigate to try to affect speech. And that speech relates to whether or not man-made global warming is a fact or whether it is still subject of research and disagreement. And so the attorney generals, these 17 Democrat attorney generals, appear to be launching a criminal investigation against anyone who denies man-made climate change. And it's they've started off with some various think tanks and not-for-profits and one big oil company in ExxonMobil, and we fear that they're going to use this to try to ultimately put out of business anyone that disagrees with their radical environmental agenda of man-made climate change. And so, we have, we're getting information right now. We're calling through it. But a lot of it is these folks are trying to winnow down the scope of our request and probably in hopes of, hiding the really good documents from us.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, redaction has become the rule of day, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you look at what happened with the attorney general on the 9/11 tapes in Orlando. I mean, for whatever reason, our public servants, we've reached a point where either they feel like we can't handle the truth as American citizens, or they want to hide what they're ultimately doing behind the scenes. And that's where groups like FACT come to bear, to shine a light on their behaviors and to make sure that the American people and their constituents understand how they're using their power. Instead of protecting them from internet predators and violent criminals, they're
exactly
working on trying to quiet the speech of those that are, in their mind, climate change deniers.
Well, the flags went up very strongly and definitively when the president came out and said it's a fact. Climate change is a reality. I mean, he didn't even use a scientific term. But in his best professorial way, he wanted to tell us that, anybody that tries to argue that are idiots, and they need to be controlled. And so why not, these AGs of these varying states decide, hey, they're going to do the president's bidding and the bidding of the people that, know so much better than everybody else, though. A majority of Americans are far from being convinced that climate change is what they say it is.
Totally agree. And, at the end of the, there was a president at the end of the Ice Age, they would have also believed in climate change.
I'm going to quote you on that. Matt Whitaker, former U.S. attorney, president of the Foundation for Accountability and Civic Trust, FACT, that exposes campaign finance and ethics issues. Matt, thank you for being with us. This is Bill Martinez live.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.